Well, as you know, we've been looking at those old Bible stories that we learned when we were kids, and kind of determining how we look back at them now as adults. We can learn different things. We can learn things that maybe on a different level than we could have understood as children. And so we don't want to just relegate those stories to our childhood years. We want to look at them again. And so we've been doing that together. And you can guess by now that this morning we're going to talk about David and Goliath. That story is found in 1 Samuel 17. I invite you to turn with me in your copy of Scripture to 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to talk about the bigger they are, and you know the rest of it, the harder they fall. The bigger they are. 1 Samuel 17. It's an exciting story because, well, for many reasons, but one of the reasons that excites me is it's just another example of how God chooses to use the ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. You know, David was the runt of the family. He was the kid. The men went off to war, and he stayed home because he was the kid. That's the way they viewed him. And God chooses the youngest and the smallest, the runt, to do great things. It's amazing how many times God works that way throughout Scripture. And, you know, I think it's by design. Because if the biggest, strongest, smartest, toughest, most athletic guys did all the greatest stuff in the Bible, then we might tend to talk about how great those people were. You see, God uses normal, everyday, ordinary folks like us to accomplish the extraordinary so that people have no question this was done by God. He gets the glory instead of those whom he uses. And so this is just another one of those great examples. And I want us to look at the story with fresh eyes this morning. So let's look at 17. I'm going to fast forward through the first half of the chapter, and let's really get started at verse 23. Verse 23, because you kind of know what's happened here. The army of Israel is all suited up, and they're all decked out and they're ready for war, and they're standing on their side ready to go. And then the Philistine army is all suited up and they're decked out and they're ready to go. They're ready for war, and they're facing each other. And then what happens is the biggest, baddest, scariest Philistine, he gets a little bit cocky and he comes out and basically says, I'll take you all on by myself. And so then we pick up the story at verse 23. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David heard them. He spoke, what does it mean he spoke the same words? Well, what happened was that he had already been meeting in front of the army of Israel for 40 days. For 40 days, this big Philistine stood in front of the army of God, and he mocked them. Your God is so tough. Your God is so big. Let's see about that. I'll take you all on by myself. He mocked them for over a month, for 40 days. Now, David has appeared because he was bringing food to his brothers who were in the army. He shows up, and when he gets there, he hears Goliath mocking the army of Israel, thereby mocking God. And David understands there's a problem that doesn't settle well with him. So again, in verse 24 now, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" David speaks to the adults and says, "Dudes, what's the deal? What are you doing? We are the army of the living God. Have you forgotten who we are?" The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that God's warriors fight with faith. God's warriors fight with faith. When those other guys saw the Philistine, they saw a 9-foot tall giant. They saw muscles. They saw intimidation. When David looked at Goliath, he saw an enemy of God. David's response is, "This guy is mocking God. We can't let that happen." The other guys are saying, "Hey, if any of us would be brave enough to step up to this fella, the king would give us all kinds of great stuff." And David said, "You're talking about getting stuff while he's mocking God? Where is your thinking? What's wrong with you guys?" David understood that God's warriors fight with faith. I want to back up real quick and show you a few verses earlier in the chapter at verse 8. It said, He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in a battle array? Am I not the Philistine and your servants of Saul? Choose a man from among you. Let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. He stood and mocked them. He said, "Give me one man who's willing to fight." And there were none. And now here's not technically a man, but really a boy. And he says to the guys, "We can't let him mock God. We are the army of the Almighty God." No doubt he was intimidating presence, all 9 feet of him. Have you noticed that they just don't make giants like they used to? The tallest man in NBA history was a good 17 inches shorter than Goliath. As you know, most homes, most residences, the door jams are about 6 feet, ceilings about 8, give or take. If Goliath were to walk into your house, the top of the jam would hit him in the chest, and his head would be in the attic. He was large. It's no wonder that he paralyzed the army of Israel. Look at how they responded. Look at verse 23 again. Saul's servant spoke these words to David. David said, let's see, hang on, I'm going to get there. That air conditioner turned my page, that's what it was. 23, as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine Gath, named Goliath, was coming up. 24, all the men of Israel saw him and they fled. They were greatly afraid. Now be honest. Would you have been intimidated if you were there? He's an intimidating presence. That's not the story. The story is that we shouldn't be afraid of big people. That's not the story. He was big and he was scary. The point is that in our fear, we can respond in faith. The fear is real. He's big. He's bad. He's scary. But in our fear, we can respond in faith. The men turned and ran afraid, and yet David stood in faith. And he asked that key question in verse 26, who is this guy that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? David was not intimidated, not because Goliath wasn't scary. David was not intimidated because he knew that God was bigger than Goliath. He had faith. The enemy only seems unbeatable when we look at him with our natural eyes. The enemy only seems unbeatable when we look at him with our natural eyes, when we see the circumstances around us that look too big and too bad and too scary, and we look at them from our human eyes, our frailty, then the enemy looks too big, too bad, too scary. But when we learn, like David, to look at that through spiritual eyes, we're able to say, I'm fighting for the living God. And I know my God is bigger than these circumstances. We learned it early on, didn't we? That we could say and believe and live that God is bigger than all of this. That is our statement of faith. It has defined us as a people. That's where David was. My God is bigger than this giant. The second thing I want you to see is that God's warriors fight with confidence. They fight with faith, and they fight with confidence. Look at verse 32. David said to Saul, you remember Saul is the king, king of Israel. He's the one that everybody's there supposed to be serving, and yet they're all scared. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Don't let any of these men lose their faith out of fear. I will serve you by fighting this guy so you folks can see that our faith is put in the right place, that God will take care of us. Verse 33, then Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. Let me tell you something. When you take a challenge seriously, there will always be someone who will say, you can't. Every time you decide to take a big step forward and do some really great work, somebody will tell you, you can't do it. I would even go so far as to say, if you don't have somebody telling you you can't do it, that means that you have not challenged yourself enough. When you find a challenge that's big enough for you to put all of your heart and soul into it, I promise you there will be people who say you can't do it, or you're doing it the wrong way, or you should do this instead. There will always be people who want to keep you from accomplishing that great goal ahead of you. So the question is, who are you going to listen to? When you're trying to accomplish something important and people say you can't, when Saul says to David, you can't go against him, when people tell you you can't, who will you listen to? Will you listen to the one who says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength? Or will you listen to the one who says you can't do that? Saul's soldiers thought that Goliath was too big to kill. David thought Goliath was too big to miss. It's all in your perspective. It's all in your faith attitude, your willingness to trust and to act on that trust. When God has a warrior who's willing to fight, God will often use ordinary things to win the battle. Think about it for a minute. When he has somebody willing to fight, he will often use ordinary things to win the battle. Goliath was an impossible foe in hand-to-hand combat. No way that you could win in close quarters fighting, but he had a vulnerability. And God knew how to help David use that vulnerability. He used a rock to bring down a giant. When God goes to war, he usually chooses the most unlikely soldiers, hands them the most unusual weapons, and accomplishes through them the most unpredictable results. If you look at some of the other stories in this book and the books surrounding it, primarily in 1 Samuel, you look at the stories presented in the Old Testament, you get a sense of that. God gave Shamgar an ox goad, and with it he killed 600 men. Jael used a hammer and a tent peg to kill a captain. Gideon routed the whole Midianite army with only clay pitchers and torches as weapons. Samson slaughtered 1,000 Philistines using the jawbone of a donkey. Young David killed the giant Goliath with a stone hurled from a shepherd's sling. West Point isn't likely to offer courses on how to use those weapons. But God is able to do so, and he does so on purpose. He uses ordinary people with ordinary things to accomplish extraordinary purposes. David knew how to play to his strength and to exploit Goliath's weaknesses. David was able to fight with confidence, and he was able to fight with a strategy. The third thing that we understand now as we look back is that God's warriors fight with a strategy. He knew that the way to get Goliath was not hand-to-hand combat, but it was to use the experiences that he already had in life. So he was able to stand and to fight in a way that you and I might not be able. Look at verse 38. Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I can't go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. He puts on the king's armor, got a helmet. He's got the breastplate. He's got the armor. He's got the big sword, and he's walking, clinking around like this. You remember the pictures of when your kids and grandkids are little and they put on daddy's boots. Clomp around, the boots come all the way up to their hips, you know. This is David. He's a little fella. He's a youth. He's probably a young teenager, and he's got on this grown man's big man. Saul was big, by the way. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He's got trying to put on that kind of armor, and he can't handle that. He's not going to use that. But you know what? The truth is he didn't need that, because God had a plan, because he had prepared David. David was ready to go. The sling was the best weapon for David, because God had already prepared him and God had used it already, so he was familiar with it. You remember what happened in David's past? Let me remind you by using verse 40. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. It says he found rocks to put in his bag for his sling. Why? Because he'd already used it before. As a shepherd, he used it many times to scare off the critters that were coming to get the sheep. We're told in Scripture about two specific. He killed a lion and he killed a bear with his sling. No telling how many other critters he's just scared off, skipping that rock at just the right place, hitting them in their hindquarters so they'll run away. David was handy with that thing. This morning in our First Things First class, we talked about shape. Many of you have been introduced to that over the years in our church, and you're familiar with it. It's the concept that God has created you for a purpose, and you want to find your purpose. And so you think about shape. S is your spiritual gifts. H is your heart or your passion, what drives you. We went through all the way down. I don't remember A. That's why I'm hesitating. P is personality. And E is experiences. God uses our experiences to prepare us for that, for which he's called us. In this case, David grew up throwing that rock with that sling. That was his experiences. He knew what he was doing with that thing. So God had prepared him for this very moment. You see, God's warriors fight with a strategy. It's not going to work to try to wrestle with the Philistine. But he could use his experiences, and God could use that strategy to win that battle. God's warriors fight with faith. They fight with confidence. They fight with a strategy. Think about what it is you need to accomplish, and then figure out how you can do that with God's help. Think it through. Be ready, mentally prepared, to attack that task, that enemy, that goal, whatever it is that you need to accomplish. And then finally, I hope you'll understand that God's warriors fight with an awareness of his greatness. Notice what it said, an awareness of his greatness. So many of us are willing to fight each other because we're convinced of our own greatness. God's warriors fight the enemy with an awareness of God's greatness. And you know, the more aware I become of God's greatness, the more humble I become. The more I am aware of his greatness, the more I realize my need for him. Isaiah walked into the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. He walked into the temple and he saw the Lord who was high and lifted up. And he said, "Holy, holy, holy." And the very next thing he said was, "Lo, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." What happens is when we recognize God and his greatness, we immediately respond by recognizing our own lack of holiness. We recognize our own need for him. God's warriors fight with an awareness of God's greatness. Look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you taunted." Look at the difference. He said, "You come at me with all these weapons. You've got a sword and a spear and a javelin, and you think that's going to do it. But I got something that's stronger than all of your weapons, that's bigger than all of your armor. I am coming in the name of the Lord of hosts." David knew that he could win because of the greatness of God. Verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. He's not going to win this battle with a sword or a spear. He's going to win it because he is great. We used to sing, "Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Lift up your banner. Let the anthem raise. Great and mighty is the Lord our God." I wonder how often we recognize that and think about that. Would you do me a favor? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you may have to set your iPhone to give you a reminder. Maybe you need to write a note to yourself on a little post-it note and stick it on your mirror. But would you do this for me tomorrow? When you wake up tomorrow morning, would you start the day by saying, "Great and mighty is the Lord our God"? I think we take him for granted. I think we forget who he is. I think we depend on him too much just to show up when we need something. And I want you to remember, we serve a great God. We serve a mighty God. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. David stood in front of that great big old scary bully, and he said, "You've got your armor, you got your spear, you got your sword. I want you to know I got something bigger and badder than all that. I'm standing in the name of the Lord, and great and mighty is he. And we're gonna completely defeat you, and it's going to be because God did it. This battle belongs to the Lord." Somebody here is fighting a battle. You're fighting a battle every day. All day, every day, there's something gnawing at you. There's something that you can't get away from. You're either fighting a battle to save your marriage, or you're fighting a battle to pay the bills. You're fighting a battle to walk away from that monkey on your back that's been hanging on to you for years. You're fighting a battle. Tomorrow when you get up and you say, "Great and mighty is the Lord our God," the next thing you say is, "The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord." Because I promise you, as long as you try to fight that battle on your own, it's going to be a long, hard battle, and you're going to get exhausted and worn out, and the chances are you're not going to win. But when you learn to turn the battle over to the Lord, to say, "God, I am here, I am yours, I'll do what you tell me to do, when you tell me to do it, where you tell me to do it, how you tell me to do it," you're going to notice that when you give the battle to him, all of a sudden victory shows up. That's the way God works. When you fight your battles, he's going to let you lose some of those battles. When you fight your battles, he's going to be there to help pick up the pieces, but he's going to let the bully win sometimes. But when you learn to trust him and you learn to say, "This is your battle, your day, because I'm going to fight for your name, great and mighty is the Lord our God," you're going to notice that victory comes quickly. Romans says it this way: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword?" No. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Stop lying to yourself. Stop telling yourself you're a loser. Stop telling yourself, "I can't." You get up in the morning, you say, "Great and mighty is the Lord our God. The battle belongs to the Lord, and through him I am more than a conqueror." That Greek, I love that Greek, where it says "more than a conqueror." That Greek is hyper Nike. Nike, the brand name. It means winner. More than a conqueror, hyper Nike. A big, super, hyper winner is who we are when we trust in the Lord and let him fight the battles. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Verse 49, and we're done. David put his hand into his bag, took from it a stone, and slung it. It struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. That's what Jeremy was talking about earlier when he said we had a kid-friendly ending to the story earlier. We didn't go into all those details. David takes Goliath's sword, chops off Goliath's head, and then there is a complete rout. The other guys on Goliath's side run scared. Verse 51, David ran and stood over the Philistine, chopped off his head. When the Philistines saw what happened, they all ran. It said in there that he did not win with a sword. David beat the bully with a little rock. Because what happened was David was faithful to who he was. He didn't try to pretend to be the king in the king's army. He was faithful to who he was. His experience was a shepherd, so he used the tools of a shepherd. But not only was he faithful to who he was faithful to who God was. He said to those guys, hey, we're the army of the mighty God. How can you stand in fear? And then he said to the Philistine, I'm not going to fight you with a sword. God's going to fight you. This is his battle. Then he was obedient. He slung that stone. And I think the mighty hand of God grabbed that stone in midair and directed its path and shoved it right through the forehead of the giant. God's warriors fight with faith, with confidence, with a strategy, and with an awareness of his greatness. Tomorrow morning, you wake up, no fear. Not afraid of what the enemy's going to throw at me today. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, great and mighty is the Lord our God. The battle belongs to him. And through Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you are there to fight those battles, that we don't have to know how to stand up against the bully, the enemy, the adversary, Satan. We don't have to know how to fight the way we're used to fighting against flesh and blood. But we can trust you. The battle is yours. We can be obedient and know that you're going to conquer. God, thank you. Because that helps us rest at night. That helps us get up in the morning ready to go. And so we say thanks. Father, we want to make sure this morning that we're right with you, that we have established the right relationship with you so that we can walk every day as a conqueror, that we can walk every day in faith. So we pray that you'd help us this morning to make sure that that relationship is all that it needs to be. We ask that you'd help us to do that in Jesus' name.